All right, everybody, welcome back in to Mining Stock Daily, pushing through this Thursday afternoon. Here's an old friend and a company we haven't heard from in quite some time, and that's Fireweed Metals and CEO Mr. Brandon McDonald, CEO Trades, Fireweed Metals Trades on the Venture with FWZ and on the OTCQX with FWEDF. Brandon, good afternoon. How you been?
Yeah, I'm doing well. And for the record, I'm probably for sale too.
Who isn't?
Everything has a price.
Who isn't in this business? All right. Brandon, you know, news has been a little slim, actually. I mean, you had some news about a new drill database available back in February. You got upgraded to the OTCQX markets in March. But, you know, this conversation, really, I was kind of hoping to spend a little bit more time talking about the field program up and coming here for 2024. As we push into the spring, I'm sure you and your team are getting ready to return back to MacPass if you haven't already. So kind of give us an overview of really the plans at hand.
Yeah, plans are shaping up. I think we have an overarching strategy approved, and Dr. Jack has got a whole bunch of drill holes spotted, ready to go. You know, I think a key difference from last year, it's going to be a lot like last year, I think, in terms of overall scale. We'll see a lot of drilling at Boundary, I think quite a bit at Tom, a few holes at Jason as well. But the big difference between this year and last is some new targets. We're thinking Bog Zone, which we've talked about for a few years, does have some old holes in it. We think there might be some more to be found there. And potentially some holes into what we've been calling Start Zone, which was just a play on its proximity to End Zone. And that one is really never been drilled. It's uphill from End Zone. It is up ice from End Zone. There's a very strong geochemical anomaly there, very strong. And we can't really explain where it comes from. That anomaly can't come from End Zone because the wrong ice direction, it wouldn't have been smeared in that direction. And the End Zone anomaly actually is smeared down ice. So could be something there. So we'll put some holes into that. We've got some other holes or some other targets that, you know, everything from sort of, 11 volcanic and imperial and all these sort of other ones that we'll try to firm up and as well do a bunch of regional exploration to potentially maybe test one of them for the end of the summer as well. So I think that's a key differentiator between last year. It's not that it's not like there's nothing left to be found at Tom, Jason, and Boundary. Those all have significant growth potential. But we feel like we've neglected what you would call the bottom of the exploration pyramid, right? So if at the top, it's kind of a mine, though that's reserves and resources and then targets and then prospects and anomalies and some of that. So we've been neglecting that bottom and you know, building out that bottom leads to success higher up down the road, right?
Yeah. So expansion is the name of the game at MacPass this year.
Yep.
Simplified. All right. So give us a sense of, you know, you did a pretty good job running down some of those other targets. I mean, there's been so much focus on Boundary Zone the last couple of years, plus a lot more kind of drilling at Tom and Jason, as you said. And, you know, there's a huge land package at MacPass. You know, how do you prioritize those first different targets? And I mean, I remember then, I've said this before so many times, like I remember a Boundary Zone was just a target about 3 years ago. Now it's an absolute monster. You know, what are you seeing? Are you and Jack seeing some similarities at surface from Boundary Zone that you're seeing these other targets?
Yeah, and we'll do a pre-field season presentation on this, but Bog, for example, this is like a kilometer and a bit, maybe from Boundary, kind of east by northeast. There's around that whole Boundary area, there's scattered drill holes from Kaminco back in the day, the vast majority of which hit something. And they basically all hit the what we had previously referred to as Boundary Main, that vein-hosted sort of or flooding infill hydrothermal-style zinc mineralization. And that's interesting that we think about boundary main and west, or the totality of boundary. We might now call it the halo and the massive sulfides. But we actually have drill intersections kilometers, certainly to the east, and a little bit to the west as well, that still hit that vein-hosted stuff. Now, what's interesting is when we discovered the massive sulfides, which we would refer to as boundary west, in 2020, we thought the veins were a feeder for the stratiform mineralization. What we understand now, because we've seen it in core, that they actually cross-cut the stratiform mineralization at many times. So they're a later event. what that means is that they were quite possibly zinc, you know, mineralization resulting from the remobilization from maybe these stratiform deposits, and that that might have been a later halo. And that, that, you know, mineralization in those veins may be as late as the Cretaceous and maybe related to, you know, which is 350 million years after the stratiform deposits were laid down, maybe related to the tectonics and intrusions that occurred in the, you know, Cordilleran event when, you know, that part of North America got smashed up against the craton, right? So possibly related to the reduced intrusions that are throughout this part of Yukon, some of which, as Snowline has found, can be quite endowed in gold, right? So it's interesting. So we see this vein hosted bit quite a bit to the east, including a few drill holes in at the bog zone that, you know, wouldn't knock your socks off, right? They're good. They're, I would say, economic grade, but a little spotty. But there seems to be, we think there's more there. And we think that there's a big question of if these veins are a remobilized halo of the stratiform. Would you see it that far from the stratiform? Or is there perhaps another stratiform deposit to the east that's causing that mineralization around there? We don't know. So this is something we're working on. And I think that a whole lot goes into developing a target. Something like bog, it's good that we've got some drill holes there. We've got a starting point, right? That's a good starting point. Other targets, it could be gravity anomaly. It could be the right structure. It could be a geochemical anomaly. You know, all these, you know, all these sort of multiple data points lead you to a target. And then you prioritize based on your comfort with each target and what you think the risk reward is.
When do we get to the point? I say the word we loosely, I'm a shareholder of the company, but you know, as far as this, it seems like 2024, big expansion, lots of exploration, trying to define new zones and make discoveries, right?
Yeah.
The last resource is 6 years old, and that's just on Tom and Jason. Boundary doesn't have one. When do you get to the point to where you start really defining, you know, updating those resources at Tom and Jason and defining that new resource at Boundary?
Well, June. So we've been, this is in progress. It's a process, right? It takes time, particularly when you've got, I mean, adding an end zone, which is small, but you fundamentally got four deposits to model. Tom and Jason each have, you know, significant numbers of zones that you have to model, and a lot of time and leapfrog, a lot of geostats, and then particularly now with the new rules around, not even, rules is too strong a word, with the new best practices around modeling that you know, or resource estimates, that you're constraining them to mining shapes, whether it's open pit or underground, which is it's not that no one ever did this, but that it's best practices now to always do that. Is new. Like, we didn't do it in our last resource, so that takes extra time as well, because now your geologists are coming up with the model and the block model, but now you have to constrain it by mining shapes, right? So this is a new step. So you would have seen this in all sorts of companies that have published really resources in the last couple of years, that it may appear their resource got smaller, maybe even from the last one, and it didn't. There was no loss of material, except that some material was not able to be fit into mining shapes. So it's just left outside the resource. Doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that, you know, with more attention to detail on economic realities, they're not considering it, you know, likely, you know, but what's the RPEE, reasonable prospects of eventual economic extraction?
That one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This is my life.
Right. Right. No, I totally get it. Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
So June. Okay. And I don't, honestly, at this point, I feel most comfortable signaling late June. We've been talking about May earlier. And, you know, it always stinks as a CEO when you try to best efforts, make a prediction, and then reality hits. Right. Consultant availability, lab delays, own internal restrictions and stuff like that. And it never seems to get delivered when you think kind of.
But you're not drilling anything into Tom, Jason, end zone or boundary before then. Is that, no. Or are you going to,
we might, but you're never going to get,
but nothing's going to be, it's no, not going to no, be included.
The cutoff for inclusion in this resource is long since passed. Right. So, it's just going to be stuff that was drilled last year and earlier.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think a lot of investors and people watching this have been waiting patiently for the resource. Brandon, does the length of the test of the patients just go to show you the absolute scale and size of these zones?
Right. It's complexity and different resources are easier, right? And it's not that any resource is simple. And I don't want to say that someone like Snowline or a porphyry deposit or something like that are easy to model. But they're easier than the stratiform style stuff, particularly when you have any sort of structural complexity. And a stratiform deposit can be very, very easy to model if you don't have any structural complexity. But as soon as it's broken up by a few faults, and as soon as this zone's over here and this zone's over there, and then you got multiple deposits, Tom, Jason, and boundary and stuff like that, it ends up being a lot of modeling, right? And then probably the biggest nightmare to model is vein swarms or something like that, where you got a whole lot of veins and you're trying to pick them all apart and put that all together in 3D. Because you can't just, contrary to popular belief, you can't just throw it in a piece of software and press a button. It's not, we're not there with, AI or anything like that, where we can make, reasonable estimates that way.
Maybe Steve DeJong would disagree with you on that one.
Yeah, they're not attempting that. They were looking at targeting, right? Interesting. Yeah. We had a great demo from them recently.
That looks pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I was pretty impressed with what I saw at PDAC when they launched their AI platform for targeting. It's pretty good. I'm waiting for the next level. And that somebody found something. There's your discovery based on that. We're waiting on that.
Well, and that's been a criticism of AI for exploration, is that everyone has said, but what has it found? Right.
Exactly.
And to date, despite some claims by some people that AI have found their deposit, it's not actually found anything, to my knowledge, nothing of significance. No. Right. And I think in our office here, my office right now, because like I said, before we started recording here, I'm moving office in 2 days to the new office with the Lundin Group. My office now with the Discovery Group, Kodiak has used the Verify stuff and for them, it seemed to have validated a target that they had. So AI produced a target that their geologists had, but had, I think, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, my recollection of it was that maybe they hadn't prioritized. And this made them think that maybe they should prioritize it, right? So it's interesting. If they hit on that, I think you always need the human to look at it and say, does this make any sense? Because sometimes as you can see with crazy AI drawings where, the hands are always wrong and stuff like that, where it's just what the heck is this? Sometimes the data isn't right and you can get some very erroneous stuff out of it, right?
That's right. Brandon, okay, so let's move away from MacPass. Do you expect any movement on either MacTongue or Gainer River this year?
So MacTongue, also in June, we hope, delivery of the PEA. So there had been a PFS delivered by the last owner in 2008. They then went through the environmental assessment, which is great for us. They went through the positive recommendation on the environmental assessment in 2014. But as usual, you go through an environmental assessment. There are extra mitigations, design changes necessary to accommodate requests out of First Nations and government and stuff like that. So we need to rerun the economics, kind of basis the old what was assessed and then what they had to change to the assessment. It's not going to all get worse because we see significant, they were looking at underground only. We see a significant opportunity for an open pit eventually. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be, better than the old one. And then, you know, that's going to hopefully lead to fast tracking our own feasibility study, because with it having been through the environmental assessment, you know, we see an opportunity once we get the baseline up to speed, which we started last year, environmental and baseline, to finish the final licensing and start construction, right? So this could be 3 to 4 years construction, which is like exciting and daunting, because that means we're already thinking long lead time on things like project finance and partnerships and offtake and stuff like that. It's in mining
business. I mean, 3 years is not a long time.
No.
in mining terms. And so I that begs the question here, Brandon. Are you and your team the ones to take this into construction and production? Do you spin it out into a different entity?
I think a spin out is a strong possibility. That's definitely a measure twice, cut once situation, right? Like you want to be, because they're right next to each other. If they were like in totally different provinces, you just snap your fingers, spin it out, who cares, right? Because they're right next to each other, you really want to make sure that you're entrenching legal agreements between the two entities to ensure cooperation so that one doesn't accidentally, you know, do something to the other. Now, you start on day one with all the same shareholders, but you will naturally drift apart, right? Mm-hmm. So we just really want to make sure we do that right. You know, we're for now, having the two together has given us a huge amount of ability to lobby the Canadian government with two of Canada's best critical minerals projects right next to each other. So it's been useful to have them together, but I think eventually a spin out's on the cards. I would be surprised, but not shocked if there's a party that wants to operate both. I don't feel that, you know, one of the world's largest zinc mines and a tungsten mine, which is naturally going to be small because it's just not a big industry. I'd be surprised if someone wants to operate both of those, but you know, like I said, not shocked. There's good, you know, the natural synergies exist. You know, maybe someone does, right? So
yeah.
That's something we want to get a real sense of before we do a spin out as well. If someone wants to own both, then, you know, let's see if we can identify that party in the near term.
All right. And quickly, last couple seconds, any progress on Gaina River this year?
Working towards drill permits, likely. I don't think we'll drill this year. You know, I think we have some very good targets. You know, we're looking for some movement on some roads in NWT, which seems to be happening. You know, out of the budget came a bunch of northern infrastructure stuff that Arctic sovereignty that I think is positive for Gaina, very positive. You know, the Mackenzie Valley all weather road would be massive for Gaina. So, you know, movement on those, I think, would give us a lot more confidence that maybe it's, you know, I think, look, if you find, we've been targeting a Kipushi style deposit there. If you find a Kipushi, I don't know what, you know, unless you're on the moon, you can figure out a way to mine it, right? They managed to figure out a way to mine it in a challenging part of DRC, nowhere near the rail and everything, right? And trucking the concentrate a bajillion miles to some, you know, African coast, right? So I feel like we could sort it out. But the Mackenzie Valley all-weather road goes ahead, and I think it massively lowers our hurdle rate there, which I think is important. So that one, planting seeds, probably some prospecting, et cetera, up there this year. Unlikely to be a drill program, unless the market suddenly turns, right? And it's like our cost of capital comes crashing down as a result. Crashing down sounds bad, but you know, like our cost of capital comes way down, right? You know, if we're at $2-3 a share, it feels a lot less risky to drill a Gaina than it does at $1.20.
Sure. All right. You and I are going to chat again in a couple of weeks, so we'll leave it at that. In fact, we'll probably spend more time talking about zinc and these critical minerals at that time in Frankfurt at the Deutsche Goldmesse, Brandon.
Yep.
So until then, see you in a couple weeks. Thanks so much for this update. It's long overdue, but appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, Trev.
All right, everybody. That's your update for Fireweed Metals. Again, trading on the Venture with FWZ and on the OTCQB with FWEDF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.